For Friday, November 6, 2009, this is Brian Madden continuing our experiment of recording audio versions of the articles on brianmadden.com. So today's article is called, Is the Future of Remote Display Protocols Based on Hypervisor Integration? Where this came from is a couple days ago I wrote about Net2 Display's, the release of the 1.0 specification. And when I was writing about that article, I actually reached out to several of the experts in the industry and members of the committee and asked them for their opinions about Net2 Display. One of the guys I talked to was the CTO of Desktone and friend of Briforum, Clint Battersby. So Clint, in his response to me, in addition, of course, to providing comments about Net2 Display, he made some sort of off-the-cuff remarks about his thoughts of how he felt remote protocols should evolve in general. And I touched on those comments that he made a couple days ago in that Net2 Display article, but you know, I actually think that his comments are interesting enough that they do warrant their own article on brianmadden.com and their own conversation. And that is what today is about. So really, this is kind of like my interpretation of Clint's initial protocol thoughts. So Clint's opinion, for those who haven't seen it, is that the real opportunity and what he calls the real opportunity and proper packaging of remote display protocols is having them integrated with the hypervisor. And he says this is just like VirtualBox does today with RDP and like what Krumernet does today with Spice. So Clint claims that integrating the remote display protocol with the hypervisor has three advantages. The first is guest OS independence, since no guest OS software is required. Second advantage is that this is much closer to the, quote, normal desktop experience. You know, you can watch the machine boot, etc. And the third advantage that Clint mentions is this would eliminate the complex feature matrix you have in the current kind of protocol, guest OS, client device implementations. So, again, these were just side comments that Clint made. So, you know, I don't want to sort of just take something he made off the cuff and sort of blow it all out of proportion in the context of me adding. Like, I want to sort of add on to his thoughts and kind of, you know, just refine his thoughts a little bit. But I do that from the perspective of a back-and-forth conversation with him, not me specifically calling him out as being wrong on this, because these certainly weren't fully based baked thoughts that he had on his own. So from my standpoint, after thinking about this a bit more, I'm not quite sure about items one and three. Items, this is the guest OS independence and the ability to eliminate the complex feature matrix. So basically what Clint is saying is, you know, if you integrate your remote display protocol with your hypervisor, then you don't need any remote display protocol component in your guest VM. But the reason I disagree with that is because if you look at, like, for example, Krumernet with Spice, they actually do add a component into the guest VM. So in the terms of Spice, you're moving from a sort of a two-tier remote protocol implementation to a three-tier remote protocol implementation. The three-tier, so you've got the guest VM component, the hypervisor component, and a client component. So, but this, of course, is not to suggest that there are no advantages to sort of taking the remote protocol out of the guest VM. I mean, another advantage I can think of, and something that Clint did not specifically call out, is performance. And quite honestly, this is one of the main reasons that Krumernet says they went with that architecture, is because they are able to dedicate cycles to the protocol remoting outside of the guest VMs, where they can sort of more appropriately allocate resources and manage resources. And, you know, they can kind of let the guest be the guest doing the computing, and they can let the hypervisor that's working with the hardware do the kind of more hardware stuff. And this, by the way, I think has a lot of potential for the future when you're talking about the performance of this, is thinking about how you can, you know, leverage GPUs or PC over IP chips or Callista chips. If you have, you know, a GPU, just one in the box, if you can sort of do some protocol remoting at the GPU level, let your hypervisor sort of leverage that, and you don't have to have that with inside every single guest virtual machine. And so I guess kind of following on those lines, it's interesting because Clint kept on referring to these things as remoting protocols, whereas I personally use the term remote display protocols. And it's interesting because Clint's term sort of reminded me that remote protocols today, it is more than display, right? It's about client devices and peripherals and USB. And so all of these client devices, peripherals, et cetera, these are things that have to be, by the hypervisor, you know, emulated or paravirtualized or passed through to the guest anyway. So there's probably some economies of scale that we can get if we allow our hypervisor to kind of, you know, hook into the whole remoting protocol level. And as it's presenting these virtual components to the guest, you know, why not just virtualize the whole thing and then abstract that out at the hypervisor level? So I really think there's kind of a lot of potential here. And so what I want to do kind of for the second part of this article is just kind of step through this stuff. And let's go through one by one. Let's look at each specific protocol hypervisor combination and sort of figure out, to talk through whether we think this would be possible for each of them. So we'll start first with Citrix. So Citrix ICA or HDX, whatever they're calling it now. Citrix ICA and Zen Server. Now, Clint's comment was that he was surprised that Citrix did not integrate ICA into a commercial version of Zen Server within 6 months of the acquisition. So he's surprised that this is something they didn't do, you know, right away. I think that'd be cool for sure. For Zen Server, if you're doing just a sort of straight up virtualization with Zen Server, yeah, it'd be great to use, to have ICA to connect to Zen Server. That'd be tough though for Zen Desktop, because my fear would be that if Citrix did anything to Zen Server to, sort of enhance what it can do with ICA, then that means that Zen Desktop doesn't really become platform specific anymore. Well, no, I should say it does become platform specific. They don't become as agnostic. So now Citrix says, hey, you can use Zen Desktop, you know, on Hyper-V or Zen or ESX or whatever. If Citrix starts doing all these things to Zen Server, then maybe that becomes kind of weird if they don't get the same performance out of the other things, the other hypervisors, and they can't claim to be as platform agnostic. Of course, that said, now, you know, HDX 3D is something that came out a few months ago, and that leverages the NVIDIA CUDA-based GPUs on your host side, and sort of basically allows you to do processing that the GPUs can process more efficiently than the CPUs. So you could almost make an argument that this is kind of moving in that direction anyway. Like HDX 3D does have sort of a host component. Now at this point, it's not a hypervisor integrated thing; it's more of a host thing. But you can see potential maybe for Citrix to move in this direction to leverage some of the sort of outside the VM capabilities to make the remoting protocol better. So that is Citrix. Moving on, Red Hat and Kubernetes, of course, went to Red Hat, and what they're doing, Spice and their KVM hypervisor. Clint wrote that he is disappointed that we have not seen or heard much regarding Spice or KVM in a long time. And what can I say besides, you know what, me too. I think there's Red Hat Enterprise Desktop or something like that they call it, but they were so loud in 2007 in 2008. They were all over the place. And then in the past year, I kind of haven't heard or thought twice about them. So maybe that's my fault. Maybe it's something for us to go out and look at. Moving on. So Microsoft RDP and Microsoft RDP with Calista or Hyper-V. Clint wrote that while there's no official word from Microsoft about RDP7 or Calista integration with Hyper-V, he feels that it would be a huge win given the broad availability of an RDP, of the RDP client on all these devices that are out there. From my context, you know, I know that Microsoft hasn't released too many details about Calista yet. Although we do know that there's going to be a few modes of operation, including the ability to share a physical GPU across multiple VMs, or the ability to create multiple virtual GPUs for guest VMs when real GPUs don't exist. So my sort of assumption going into this was always that I sort of expected that that would only work if it were on Hyper-V. In other words, you know, we know that Microsoft have not yet released sort of the full power of Hyper-V, or pardon me, the full power of Callista. And I just assume that when that comes out, it's going to be something that's locked into Hyper-V, probably because there will be components such as this that would make the protocol work based on the hypervisor. So in my mind, that's a pretty much a very, very high probability of happening. The only question really is, even if this is locked into RDP, or pardon me, into Hyper-V, is it an RDP-only thing? You know, what about Citrix Zen Desktop again with ICA or HDX? If Zen Desktop is running on Hyper-V, will Citrix ICA be able to leverage these Callista type virtual CPU or virtual GPU capabilities, or will this be something that Citrix does on their own and Microsoft does on their own? And if you want Callista, you're going the complete Microsoft stack, including with Hyper-V. So time will tell with that. Moving on to our list of just kind of running these down, let's look at the VMware and Teradici PC over IP implementation along with ESX. Clint wrote that VMware appears to be on the right track integrating PC over IP with their ESX hypervisors, but we're still waiting for a production release of the entire stack. I don't really have any more information on that, but what occurs to me, though, as I think about this, is that I need to learn more about how VMware's software implementation of PC over IP actually works. Like, are they emulating a Tera chip? If so, are they emulating within the VM? Are they emulating it on the host? Is it part of the hypervisor? Did they rewrite, you know, the actual algorithms from Teradici to run natively? But again, is this running natively on the hypervisor? Is it running natively, within the guest? Who knows where it is? So I certainly have lots of questions about VMware's implementation of PC over IP. It's expected that that will come out at some point this year. So when that happens, we'll take a look and understand. But I can definitely see a case to be made for them to get PC over IP out to as many people as they possibly can. And that would mean then, building into their hypervisor and looking at that as sort of all as an install base. So finally, the reason that this original article existed and the reason why Clint sort of shared these thoughts with me originally, let's move on with Net to Display. And potentially using Net to Display with, or integrating Net to Display with, the open source version of Zen or KVM. Clint wrote that he believes the best opportunity for Net to Display, given the backdrop of the hypervisor protocol wars brewing, would be to integrate it, Net to Display that is, into an open source version of Zen Source and or KVM. It seems good to me. You know, the problem for me, to be quite frank, is I kind of don't care about Net to Display anymore. I mean, we waited 3 years for it. Now it came out. It was just a specification. The article that I did a few days ago where I talked to these experts like Clint really opened my eyes to the complexities. And I feel like we're still a long ways away from having anything of meaningful value with Net to Display, because there's so much left up to the specific implementation of the specific vendors. And, you know, will these be compatible? Will these not? Who really knows? So, is that a chance for Net to Display to go? Sure. Who can say? But it's something that I just kind of don't care that much about. Good luck to them. There we have it. We have gone through sort of a rundown and looked at all five of the specific remote protocol display vendors and their specific stacks. I'm curious, what do you think about this? Does integrating the remote protocol with the hypervisor make sense? Which vendors have the most to gain? Which vendors have the most to lose? This is something that I think is a really fascinating conversation. So I encourage you, if you have received this audio clip via the podcasting RSS feed, click the link, go to brianmadden.com, join the conversation, and let's find out what you think. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all on Monday.